feel the Spirit moving through the Word. As Zach comes up to preach, Lord, I pray that you would be on him. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated, and children through sixth grade are dismissed to children's church.
Well, you are here on a very special day. You're here on a very special day. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 1 says, "You then, my child, being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And for 2,000 years, that's how we've done it, and that's what we've done. Each generation of Christians passes on the message, the solid word, the message of the grace of Jesus Christ to the next and to the next and to the next and to the next. I had an investment made in me at my first church. A man named Pastor Ray decided to take it upon himself to invest in me. And I remember the first sermon I got to preach at Pine Mountain Christian Community Church, and it was good. Like, I was ready. And I got up there, and I got through my introduction. I had people spellbound by my first sermon. And I finished the introduction, and I looked at Pastor Ray in the front row, just beaming at his young protege. And I said, "Ray, I don't think I can do this. I'm going to go throw up." Now, I had the flu. It wasn't just like butterflies. And he said, "Well, by all means, get out of here, man." And then he told the sound guys, "Turn off his microphone." And I went outside and took care of business. And then 2 weeks later, I was back, and I finished that sermon. And this is how we do it, right? We just continue making those investments. And by God's grace, he has brought someone for our church to make an investment in over this last couple of years, Zach Stocks. And today is a special day. You are here to hear Zach Stocks' first sermon. So we're excited for that, really excited. And I'm going to invite him up, give him a hand. Is this your Bible? Bible.
All right, thank you, Pastor Drew. Oh, that was a very kind introduction. Have you guys ever heard of the story of the kid Alexander and the horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day? Well, if you haven't, you probably don't have little kids, so I'll fill you in on the story. Alexander was about 7 or 8. He came to one of those days when everything went wrong. One disaster right after another. Nothing went right. It was a horrible, terrible, not so good day. For instance, when Alexander woke up in the morning, he discovered that he had gone to bed with gum in his mouth. Unfortunately, when he woke up, it was no longer in his mouth, and now it's in his hair. He got out of bed and tripped over his skateboard, then he dropped his sweater into the sink. He said, "I just knew it was going to be a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day." After he went to school, he had a terrible, terrible experience at the dentist's office. Then supper came, and he said, "We had cauliflower for supper. I hate cauliflower." And on TV, all I saw was hugging and kissing. "I hate hugging and kissing," he said. "Then my bath was too hot, and got soap in my eyes, and I lost my marble down the drain. When I went to bed, Nick took the pillow he gave to me, and my Star Trek nightlight burnt out. I bit my tongue, and the cat decided to sleep with Nick, not me. All in all," he said, "it's a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day." Now, is it any wonder why Alexander, at the end of his day, heaved a sigh and cried, "I think I just want to run away"? Do you have days like that very often? Do you have days that are filled with stress that seems to be overwhelming and coming from everywhere and wanting to just say, "I think I will just run away"? As I read the scriptures, I find no instant formula for days like this. A lot of people are searching for one. They just want to have an experience or a prayer and have all of their problems just lifted away and vanish into thin air. But the truth is, it takes spiritual maturity, a close relationship with God to be able to deal with the horrible, terrible, not good, very bad days. This maturity comes through taking refuge in God, relying on his strength while we deal with the stress, strains, and struggles as we encounter our daily lives. Now we have seen how a stressful day looks in the life of a child. Let's look at what some university research has to say about stress. A few years ago, Professor Thomas Hobbes at the University of Washington and some fellow sociologists published a report on human stress. They listed many of the common experiences in life, evaluated their impact on emotional and mental well-being, and they rated them according to stress they produced in life. This stress rating they expressed in what they called a life-changing unit, or an LCU for short. For instance, getting a divorce was rated at 73. Being pregnant was 40 LCUs. Choosing new colors for the church is about 35. Right, Pastor Drew? Remodeling a home was about 25. And so on with the list of the life stresses. When we learn of a friend who is dying of cancer, or when we go to the doctor and he says that there's something wrong with the x-ray, we need to check into it further. Or when our children grow up and move away, we sell our home and move somewhere else. These are all LCUs. We are constantly being bombarded by LCUs. The conclusion of the research was that if in 1 year's time we experience a cumulative total of more than 300 of these LCUs, most people would not be able to handle it. They concluded that if we experienced that many in 1 year, we would either have a physical, emotional, or mental breakdown. Humanly speaking, we just cannot cope with that much change. Now notice I say humanly speaking. I emphasize the word humanly because our trust in God can make the difference in how we are able to handle things that happen to us in this life. Now with that in mind, turn to Psalms 46. There must have been times when the writer in this psalm felt like they were in a pressure cooker and couldn't get out. So he wrote these words in this psalm to deal with the stresses of life. So now before I read this psalm, I just want to point out a couple things that might be distracting. First, the psalm changes from the psalmist speaking straight into God speaking without any transition. Well, this might seem odd to us. It's a very common in Hebrew poetry found in the book of Psalms. And secondly, we find the word Selah at the end of several of the stanzas of this psalm. The exact translation is unknown, but it's believed that by many scholars to be a musical term that means to pause or to reflect. So anytime you see this word, take time to stop and reread it, pause, and really think about what's being said. Now let's read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives away, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he brought the desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now listen to the first verse in this. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for trouble that was used here literally means pressed in. Think of the old saying, between a rock and a hard place. That's the kind of the pressure that the psalmist is talking about. When you feel that you're between a rock and a hard place, open your Bibles to this passage, Psalms 46, because it ministers to us in an amazing way. When Martin Luther was surrounded by his enemies, he read this psalm and then wrote the great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." He saw the tremendous power of God as a bulk word never failing. Regardless of what happens to us in this world, God is still our refuge and strength if we turn to Him. Let me say that again. Our God is still our refuge and strength if we turn to Him. Now let me give you a brief overview before we jump into this passage with a little more detail. Verses 1 through 3 deal with the changes in nature. The psalmist says, "I will not fear God. My refuge, I will not fear. God is my refuge and strength. And even though the world around me may be shaking, I will not fear." Now verses 4 through 7 speak of changes taking place in society. The psalmist says, "I will not be moved. Even though the nations are falling apart, and even though society is deteriorating, because God is my refuge and strength, I will not be moved." And finally, in the last few verses, 8 through 11, it is almost as if the psalmist sits back after seeing everything in society and nature and says, "I will not let stress ruin my life. I'm going to relax, change gears, and just trust in God and get on with living according to His will." Now let's jump into the passage. "I will not fear." Verses 1 through 3. "Our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah." It's funny, it almost sounds like the psalmist is familiar with the headlines of news today. And in the last few years, worrisome things are happening in this world. During the past 20 years, earthquakes and tsunamis have increased at a phenomenal rate. Some geologists even point to the San Andreas Fault and say the part of this great state might fall into the Pacific Ocean someday. Hurricanes like Sandy and Katrina sweep across our coasts. Tornadoes terrorize our Midland. Blizzards paralyze our cities, and drought shrivels up and cracks our farmland. Floods wash away our bridges, and there are even sinkholes that swallow us up in our homes today. Some are beginning to cry out, "What is happening in our world?" But as Christians, how should we react to this? The psalmist says, "I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. My Lord is still in command of the winds, the waves, and the sea, and all of the elements of nature. Therefore, I will not fear God. God is my refuge and my strength." I will not be moved. Let's look at verse 4 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her; she shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice; the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Here, the psalmist pictures nations in an uproar, kingdoms falling, and great changes are taking place. Again, it sounds like today. Nations are in uproar in this current time. North Korea threatens nuclear war on a daily basis. Terrorists bomb our cities like Boston. Not to mention all the unrest in the Middle East. As we watch the news, mankind seems to be falling apart, but we as Christians do not have to be. Let me tell you about a little time of turmoil in my life. About 2 years into our marriage, Jordan and I decided to take over a group home for foster kids in Sacramento. About 2 weeks before the girls moved into our home, we were blessed with our first son, Liam. Now, this was a great time for us, but it was also a hard time because in a matter of 2 weeks, we were given our first son, so we had an infant, and we were also given six teenage girls that were, yeah. And not only were they just teenage girls, they were girls that were dealing with severe emotional problems. We could not foresee the extent or the turmoil that living in this group home would bring into our lives. While we knew it would be hard, and not all of it was bad, there were great times. It was an incredibly hard time for our family. I never expected to have to stop another girl, a young girl, from stabbing another girl. My wife did not expect to have to stop a girl, pull a girl down that was attempting suicide by hanging. We did not expect to have girls screaming curse words in our face on a daily basis. And most of all, we did not expect for our one-year-old to be attacked by one of the girls. Eventually, we had to move out, but if it were not for God in our lives, I don't believe our marriage would have survived. I stand here today as proof that with God in our lives, we can take refuge in Him and He can be our strength through those hard times. We can stand strong in Him and He will help us through those days that we didn't think we could get through on our own. I will not stress. Point three, I will not stress. Then it seems as the psalmist sits back and looks at the changes that have taken place, he reflects on them with the words in verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How has He brought desolation on the earth? He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He buries the chariots with fire. He burns the chariots with fire. Then in verse 10 and 11, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. In this modern world of the 24-hour news cycle, and smartphones that have seemed to become an addiction, I wonder if some of us have forgotten how to be still. Have you forgotten how to unplug from the internet or just spend quiet time with God? Take refuge with Him. Spend time reading in His Word, being still. Do you realize what the psalmist is saying here? In the midst of all of this turmoil, I have decided to no longer let my life be filled with stress and anxiety. Why? Because God, the God of Jacob, is our fortress. He is the same God that Paul talks about in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, give thanksgiving, and let your requests be known to God. And let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I once heard someone say that our lives, many of our lives, can be described in three words: hurrying, worrying, and scurrying. It's time for us to take to heart this when this psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." If we can't find time to be still with God, there's no way that we're ever going to be able to take refuge with him. And how do we know that he is God? We do this by consistently spending time in the Bible learning more about him. And the great thing is that the more time we spend with God, being still, the more he becomes our refuge and our strength. And the more he becomes our refuge and our strength, the easier it is to deal with the daily stresses in life. How long has it been since you sat down with your family and ate a meal together with no distractions, no radio, no TV, and just talked and enjoyed each other's company for the evening? How long has it been since you just spent a day, got away from it all, turning off your cell phone and not checking your email every 10 minutes? I challenge you to take time this week to be still, and spend time with God in fellowship. Let your stresses go and spend time with fellowship with him. Now let's close by pointing out three truths that can be found in this passage. First of all, God is always near and available to us. God never puts us on hold. We may be on hold on the telephone, at a red light. We may be on hold at the bank. We may even be on hold on our careers or in a relationship with someone we love. But God is always available and always ready to hear whenever we want to speak to him. Some of our problems may be superficial, but others are deep and overwhelming and stressful. God can help us, so talk to him, then listen to him through his word. Be still and know that he is God. Secondly, God's power is greater than anything in this world, greater than the winds and the storms and the earthquakes. There is no greater power. God's power is sufficient to win victory over all the problems we face in this life. The psalmist tells us again, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So don't be afraid to ask for his help. Finally, God's help works even when we can't help ourselves. Have you felt weak lately? Have you felt like there are too many stresses or LCUs in your life and that you're about ready to explode? God's help is available. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. If you are here this morning without Christ as your Lord and Savior, please realize that he wants you to come to him, accepting his love he has shown to us by dying on the cross and raising from the dead, receiving his forgiveness and becoming part of this family. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to take refuge in you. Thank you for giving us strength as we deal with the stresses in life. Thank you for being loved and caring, Father, being a loving and caring Father. I pray that everyone in this room will be able to see you as their refuge this week and be able to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we get a, yeah. Zach's going to go home and breathe a collective huge sigh. Oh, it's all right. Oh, Andy, you're next, buddy. Would you guys please stand and let's worship the Lord one more time in song as we reflect.